And I did want to make the complaints that I've seen in this packet that staff provided went from approximately May 22nd through July 16th. So that's about a two-month period. Have you received complaints during that same period, specifically about the volume, and how have you worked with the people when you received those complaints?
You're asking if the complaints
as the operator.
Are direct to us, they're not going through via the police department? To the best of my knowledge, no, I don't think that we've gotten any direct complaints. I think most of them have actually been filtered through like the online and the police and the mayor. That's been the bulk of the complaints that we've received. You point out that the initial sound was in the beginning, that May 22nd through July 16th. We have been actively working with consultants and engineers to try and tone down the sound. There's a lot of minor adjustments that you make along the way, both in terms of direction, equipment, and all the little tweaks that you can do. So we are working on it. Obviously we have the sound monitoring equipment in place. So we use that, to quote Drucker, what gets measured gets managed. So we are sensitive to making sure that we're in compliance with our decibels. I do realize and understand that it's an issue, and it's not lost on us. We're trying, it's been a lot of tweaks.
So I have seen some comment about the placement of the sound monitors and some of the complaints that have come through. I'm not the expert on it. I would ask you to look at that to see if those monitors are in the right place to reflect what neighbors are hearing. But the speakers themselves, so when I attended a movie in May, I noticed right away that there was really no need for the FM broadcast because it was very loud on site coming through the speakers. My understanding is also that initially the app had some issues with, and I don't know if it was interrupted or what, but there were problems with the app through mobile devices or whatnot. Do you believe at this time that you do actually need the speakers to broadcast the sound for those movies, or could you operate using just the FM radio and app for the sound to include the announcers in between movies? I noticed some of the same comments when I was there, that there's sort of a prepping the crowd for the next movie to go over to the umbrella bar, as was mentioned earlier. Though I noticed those sorts of comments myself. Is that something that is justifiable? That's helping your business, it's promoting it. And if you do need to do that, can that also be done via the AM/FM broadcast through the app without broadcasting it through the speaker, so it's not 30 minutes of uninterrupted talking as described by some of the residents?
Sure. So to address the broadcasting on the speakers, I do think that part of a drive-in, the expectation of a drive-in at a minimum is to have sound that you can hear. Like, again, people are getting up, they're going, they may be getting food, they may be going to the restroom. I do think that it's something that's integral to the product to have some level of sound that's broadcasting out of the speakers. I understand FM or the app being the primary source, but I think to have a viable product, something that people are actually going to come to, I do think you would need to broadcast some level of sound.
Could it be done under the 50 decibel limit that's otherwise in the area, to not exceed up to the 79 decibels that we've talked about?
So I'm sorry, is the 79 this? I'm at a loss for what I don't know what our actual decibel rating is.
Tom's a finance guy.
Yeah. Okay.
You answer that, let me give some background. That right there is the the location of the screen. For those of you who haven't been there, let me orient things. The main speaker for all of the movies is on the top of the screen. There's one on this corner and one on this corner. Down below the screen, this is a big LED screen. Down below the screen is two big, what in the trades we call subwoofers. That's for the low volume stuff. That's the one that makes your window shake. So all of the sound goes out like this, and it spreads out. Now, the sound monitor that's permanent for the stadium and this, located right there. So I saw Ms. Gint nod up and down that ought to be relocated. I'm telling you, if it goes anywhere other than this, you guys lose.
Say that last part again.
The citizens lose.
Oh.
Because in this location, it's close to the sound.
That's so, not
a sound Dana, no. And I really don't think you want to argue with me on this. Because one, I know where it's installed, and two, this used to be my business. So this is where it's located. And if this gets moved, it'll get moved back here, which means it's quieter here than it is here. So I'm just telling you that that's where it is. So for baseball games, there's speakers located here. There's a light standard here that's got a big speaker on it here that's aimed this way. There's a speaker, as I recall, there's a speaker on the ticket collection area aimed this way. There's a speaker here aimed out this way. And frankly, for you guys, those three are problems.
They're what?
They're problems.
Problem.
For the neighbors. Especially this one here. Because this one aims out this way. And what is all of this? Hard surface. And what happens here is this speaker, because there's not, you know, let's face facts. There's not a lot of people wandering around here. And during a baseball game, what happens is the sound hits the asphalt, bounces up and goes where? Into Dale's backyard. So this speaker does the same thing. So I've been trying to get Mike and your folks just to turn these down. This one, the one that's on the back of the ticket booth, and this one, just turn these down. That's for baseball games.
Yeah, right.
For the movies, frankly, I'm going to give you my opinion. You don't need the reinforcement speakers because anybody that's going to the bathroom has got to walk past all of these cars. You got the windows open because it's the summer. They can hear the car. That's what they do at the, what's that one up in Door County? They're walking past the open car windows. They don't have any external reinforcement. So anyway. So that's my 2 cents worth.
Right.
Thank you for addressing that part of the question, Mayor. Okay, a couple more questions. It's not exactly, well, let me ask this. And the mayor might need to jump in here, but there is a new structure going up.
I'll avoid it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I hope you don't. There is a new structure going up. How is that going to impact sound from the movie theater? Is it going to have any impact or
I would
not?
I think very little. That's the driving range area.
This will be all grass.
Yeah.
There'll be some screening, some netting,
sure.
But that's...
That's not going to absorb any of the sound to mitigate
some
of the concerns. Okay. Then one, it's not exactly sound, but it is to do with some of the complaints that have been lodged to do with language in the movies. So, you know, I take... The people at their word that they can hear the sound of the movies. To what level, you know, that's a bit subjective, I think. But do you have movies that have a PG-13 rating or higher and have profane language? And are you able to work with, for lack of the right term, your distributors to get the versions of the movie that do not contain that language, that censor it, so that if any one of the residents in the area is outside with their family, they don't have to hear, whether it's just profane or offensive language. Is that something that you could do to work with them so that maybe they're going to hear something, but it's not going to be vulgarity or something offensive?
So I fully understand the sentiment behind the question, and I want you to know that I appreciate that. You know, I have my own family. I have 4 kids. So I totally understand and appreciate that. But, you know, again, I think it goes back to viability. It's to show a movie with language, it's obnoxious, quite frankly. And it's not a good product. So, and I think it is really important to think about The Rock that way, just because we're trying to attract people there. Those are the kind of things that deter people from going there. And maybe there's some people who would like that, but it's not a very good business model. And I think ultimately it wouldn't be a very good thing for Franklin. So, while I don't necessarily love that that's the answer, that's the answer.
So that basically you wouldn't be willing to look into censored versions of movies that have offensive language.
I just personally, I my opinion is that that wouldn't be viable. It's okay. Not that I wouldn't bring it up. It's just
okay.
Yeah,
I do have some
can
other
I,
questions, but I don't want to dominate.
Can I tonight. Do that one too? Since my phone lit up that weekend.
I'm sorry.
Since my phone lit up that weekend too. Believe me, it did.
Mm-hmm.
It was from a lot of the neighbors in here, and many more. And believe me, I lit up Mike's phone too.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I don't. Well, let me do this as a positive. Mike apologized to me profusely.
Mm-hmm.
It was an oversight. It was, gosh.
Right.
Didn't even cross my mind. But now that the neighbors mentioned it, that was a huge mistake.
Yeah, and please keep in mind, I'm not talking about like Pulp Fiction here. You know,
it was an R-rated movie, but there was vulgarity in it that was unacceptable.
Right,
plain and simple.
The question was like PG-13 movies, and I guess
you can look at the movies that you guys are playing now. It's over. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Right.
So, it's not going to happen. So,
and I do think that that is manageable by not using the speakers or managing the speakers in the way that the mayor alluded to, so that you're not going to hear the language outside of that area other than people who are watching it. Again, I have some other comments, but I'm sure other members of the commission do so.
Alderman Dandrew.
Thank you, Mayor. I've been one of the aldermen that have been working with Dana and with Dale and the other gentlemen and met there that weekend. Let's talk about the most recent issue regarding the language. Okay. Mr. Zimmerman did come to us. He did apologize to us in regards to that one movie. And to answer the question, you're doing a better job of vetting the movies to make sure that there is an appropriate language level, that it doesn't exceed a certain, all movies are going to have a certain amount of words.
Right.
But that movie in particular was very disgraceful. Okay. And I know that now you're doing a better job vetting the movies to make sure that they are falling in that PG-13 level. Okay. There are some, we worked very seriously with the group on Hawthorne. And these complaints in here show a time frame to mid-July. I would like to know, because we've worked so hard to try to bring it down, has the level, my phone hasn't been ringing that much, and I asked Dale to call me when this stuff happens so I can make sure. Okay, so we can keep on top of it. But you talked about the decibel scenario. the decibel scenario and the actual live sound are two different things. And that's where the complaint is coming from, is the volume of sound being projected out. And I was in their backyard. When I was standing next to the berm, it was quieter. But if I went through the yards between the houses and stood in the street, it was louder. Mm-hmm. So I understand where what they were saying, okay? And it's we've got to look at coming up with a solution. They talked about, and the mayor, I'm not going to reiterate this stuff with where the positioning of the speakers are. He's the sound guy, and he worked in the industry before he retired. But it was noticeable, and it's not fair. There's going to be a certain amount of sound, and we talk about what was presented to us as a temporary. It was talking about ambient sound. Ambient is not what's being projected out there right now. And then the rousing of the crowd as what was spoken out there. You know, we're watching a movie. If you want to get them to do things, it was recommended that you look at options to advertise over your FM closed station and do it that way. I don't think it has to be broadcast so loud that we have to have a horn contest and who can honk their horn the loudest out there. Although, I don't think that happened but once out there, and I hope that it didn't happen more than once out there, and that was just a not thinking, okay? yeah, and hey, we want you to be successful on the parcel. We want you to have fun. There's a lot of supporters of what you're doing out there. But I think we can keep things, especially the volume of sound, keep it within an acceptable tolerance. And the decibel tolerance isn't, I know it's what you guys hang your hat on, but it's wrong. Okay?
Sure, and I appreciate that. I think the decibel is just a measure that we can always go back to. So, you know, no offense is meant by using it. It's just, you know, again, I think if that's what we're trying to measure ourselves up against, at least we have some standard. So I appreciate what you're saying, and I think we all do, and I hope it's understood that we are trying to be a good neighbor. We're trying to be viable, too, as a business,
sure.
But we are trying to be a good neighbor. And hopefully, you know, just the frequency of the complaints that are shown in the early stages versus what they're being shown now is something that you take into consideration.
Granted, certain movies are going to have a certain sound bar base. I understand that. But, and the mayor knows what that term is more than I do, but you have to preview these things and see what they come up with, not be testing it at 10, 11 o'clock at night. And then we talk about the timing of these shows. I know that there were, in particular, there was usually an early show and a mid show. Very few, is it on the weekends you show three shows?
Initially we did. The Milkman season getting kicked off, no, we don't do that anymore.
That's cut out?
Yeah.
Okay. And I hope that we don't go that far.